It is really a pleasure for me to be here today. As many of you know, not all of you, but many of you know, I have a long history with this church. I was going to say a long and checkered history, but I thought maybe that's, I hope it's not too checkered. Yeah. I have to tell you, so I grew up in Seattle, and the year I was ready to start high school, which was 1962, my parents moved and bought a house. Well, they actually had it built right up the hill from here, like a stone's throw. It's to get there, you have to walk up the street and around and into the driveway. But if you can cut through the neighbor's yard, it's like almost here. So we moved there, and I started Mount Rainier High School and lived there till, I graduated in 65. Yeah, 65. And went to North Park for a couple of years, and then I came back home and was at the University of Washington for a couple of more years. So I was back here in church all the time then. So quite a few years then. And after that, I went to Chicago and worked in a covenant church in the inner city in Chicago for a year as a part of a program that our denomination had. And when that year was over, I went to Minneapolis and worked in another inner city church, and I was their Christian education director. And while I was there, I met Joel. Wave your hand, Joel. So Joel and I were married, and Joel was in the Air Force at the time. So we then lived in central Illinois, right in the middle of all the cornfields. If you've never seen this, it's kind of amazing, because you can drive for like days, I swear, and see nothing but corn. I don't know what they do with all that corn, but anyway, there's a lot of it. After that, he got sent to Dayton, Ohio. He was at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, had two assignments there. During the first assignment, we had our first child. Second assignment, we had our second child. So then he got another assignment to Bethesda, Maryland, and we lived just outside of Washington, D.C., and he had another assignment right downtown Washington, D.C. So we were there for 6 years. And then he got another assignment back at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And guess what we got? We got another baby. Yeah. So Joel said, I think it's time to retire. So he retired. We moved back out here. And a little bit later, we bought my parents' house. So there we were, right back up the street from church and right back here at Midway. So we were there that was 1987. So we've been back at this church for a long time. And 4 years ago, we sold the house and we bought a condo in Kirkland. So now we are members at Highland Covenant Church in Bellevue. So that's why it's fun for me to be back here. I feel totally at home, totally at home. Yes, I am home. Yeah, but I have quite a few homes, really. Yeah, so. Oh, and I wanted to tell you one thing. One of the things I've done in my retirement, because I'm now retired, I did pastor Queen Anne Baptist Church for 9 years, and then I retired. Now that I'm retired, I get in way more trouble than I ever did when I was working. And I decided to write a book. And so I have a copy of my book here to show off. The book is called Adam's Grief, and it is I put my maiden name, Sovald, in there as my middle name because there are like about 3 billion Kathy Johnsons in the world. I get emails from all of them, or for all of them, I swear. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to donate a copy of this to your church library. And I have one more copy. And if the first person that comes to me and volunteers to read it and write a little one-sentence review on Amazon gets the book. And I will sign it. Okay. So you probably remember the American Express slogan that says, "Don't leave home without it." You remember that?
Yeah.
They're referring to your American Express card, of course. And originally that slogan was, "Don't leave home without them." Anybody know why? Because that was when American Express was famous for American Express checks. And so traveler's checks were what they were advertising. So don't leave home without them. This is back in the 70s. It was a very successful ad campaign, and that phrase really stuck. And I think one reason it stuck so well was that it spoke to our fears. The idea behind the American Express traveler's checks was that you wouldn't want to be stranded in a foreign country without any money. And American Express traveler's checks and later on an American Express credit card would keep you safe in every imaginable situation. Or so this logo would make you think. I think the psychology behind that logo is pure genius. That's because for most people, home is the place where they feel safest. But people also like to travel. And even though they're not always sure that travel would be entirely safe, they still want to go someplace. So American Express is trying to convince us, don't worry, go ahead. Travel and take your American Express traveler's checks or your American Express card with you, and then you'll be entirely safe. Today, I want to convince you that there is something far more important for you to take with you. Whether you're headed for the Amazon jungle, like my sister is crazy doing, or you are at home in your own bed, just hoping for a good night's sleep. It's something that works for me, and I hope that you're going to allow me to convince you that it will work for you too. It is the 23rd Psalm. Sooner or later, you're gonna need it. So don't leave home without it. And for that matter, don't stay home without it either. Pastor David has been preaching about Old Testament characters. And right now his sermons are about David. David was a remarkable man. And just to be clear now, we're talking here about David in the Bible, not your pastor. He's a remarkable man too, but he's not the David in the sermon, okay? All right, so early in his life, David, in the Bible, was a shepherd. And later he became a warrior, and then a king, the king of Israel. And somewhere along the way, David also wrote a number of psalms. In fact, he wrote about half of the 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. But of all the psalms that he wrote, Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known and well-loved. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd." Probably many of you at one time or another have memorized it. Maybe you've also heard sermons explaining that sheep are kind of dumb animals. And they really aren't capable of taking care of themselves. That's the reason they have shepherds. Shepherds are the ones who keep the sheep out of trouble. Sheep are prone to wandering away. And thank you, worship team, for singing that song. Shepherds are the ones who keep the sheep out of trouble. They get lost. The Bible suggests that people are a whole lot like sheep. Most of you are Christians, and I know many of you actually personally, and I know you're very serious about your faith. Honestly, to be truthful, why else would you be in church on such a beautiful sunny day when even the World Cup is on right now, apparently? I didn't know that till my husband snuck over there and turned it on before church this morning. You are the faithful ones, so thank you for being here. But even the most faithful of us need a shepherd. You may be the toughest, strongest, most capable person around, but you need a shepherd. And not only that, I hope that you will memorize or rememorize Psalm 23 and put it in your personal emergency toolkit. Toolkit up here. I think of myself as a very strong, independent person, but I love this psalm, and I have used it over and over to remind myself of God's loving care and provision for me. When I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't get back to sleep, I say the words of this psalm, and it quiets my mind and my heart. So let's walk through this beautiful, timeless psalm together. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Sometimes that phrase, "I lack nothing," is translated, "I shall not be in want," or "I have everything I need." Jesus talks about our neediness in the Sermon on the Mount, telling us not to worry about our physical needs, about what we will eat or what we will wear. He says, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When I read, "I lack nothing," or "I shall not want," I think about being freed from the constant wanting that is so prevalent in our world. There is a whole huge sophisticated advertising industry that works day and night trying to convince us of things that we need. Sometimes we can't quite escape that. They want us to just want, want, want. More, more, more. For me, me, me. It's inescapable. And I am pretty sure that there are little gremlins in my computer who know exactly where my weak spots are, and so they can send me offers that I can just hardly refuse and put subtle little ads here and there so I won't forget. And actually, now I know that that is true. I thought that before they started talking about what they're doing in our computers, and now it's like kind of creepy. But anyway, what can we do? It's hard to get rid of our computers, isn't it? We cannot escape living in this world. But because the Lord is my shepherd, I can at least have a little bit more wisdom. At least some of the time, I can say, "I shall not want." And at least on a conscious level, I can admit that I really do have everything I need and quite a bit more. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The psalm continues, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Jesus, our shepherd, wants us to have rest and refreshment. Our world, on the other hand, encourages us to be like hamsters in those little exercise wheels and to just be going, 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 listening to the radio, whatever we listen to, watching TV. Our shepherd invites us to lie down in green pastures, to follow him to a resting place beside the still waters. If you think that God is calling you to run, 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 and do, 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 never stopping to rest and never turning off the noise of your world and never taking the time to be quiet, then maybe you're not quite getting God's voice right. You have a shepherd who knows you and who knows your needs, and your shepherd makes you lie down in green pastures. Your shepherd leads you beside quiet waters. Allow for times of quiet in your life. The next line of the psalm is my very favorite line. It says, "He restores my soul." Sometimes it's translated, "He refreshes my soul." When I think of my soul, I think of the very essence of who I am. That's my soul. I think of that inner self, the person who was created in the image of God. My soul is the core of my being. The place where the Holy Spirit whispers quietly to me. And praise God, he restores my soul. I can't do it by myself, but God can. God does it. I can easily become so busy, so surrounded by the noise of my own needs and the needs of others and the noise of the world that my soul gets lost. So my soul needs restoration. That's why I love the fact that my shepherd restores my soul. Left to myself, I can become a shallow, useless person, tossed this way and that way by the winds of the world. I can be pulled down into despair over the problems of the world. I can simply wander away from God. But the Lord, my shepherd, restores my soul. But of course, God doesn't force himself on me. His voice is almost always rather quiet. So, I need to listen to the words of this psalm and remember that my Savior, my Shepherd, is always ready to restore my soul. One way he does this is in the next two lines. It says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." When you take the time to come to church, to listen to the Word of God, when you read your Bible and pray, your shepherd is leading you in paths of righteousness. And goodness knows we all need it. Yeah. Amen is right, because the world has a whole lot of other paths to offer us. Now, if I have not yet convinced you to memorize this psalm, the next lines just might do it. This is the part you need for the worst, scariest moments of your life. You need this for the times when you are scared or alone or feeling hopeless. Whether your fears are real or not, you need this. Because every one of us has moments when we're afraid. Some of our fears are silly, and some of them are very real fears that we need in order to stay alive. I don't really mind flying in an airplane, but it seems like every time I fly, we go through thunderstorms. And when the turbulence gets really bad, and that airplane is bopping all over the place, and I start feeling afraid, I lean back in my seat, and I close my eyes, and I let the words of Psalm 23 calm me down. These words remind me that I'm not alone. These words comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Those words have comforted me over and over and over. They comfort me when I lie awake in the middle of the night and I can't get back to sleep. Those words remind me of God's presence. Now, notice that the voice changes in this section. In the first part of Psalm 23, it is talking about God. The Lord is my shepherd. But now, it is as if it has changed from a very nice poem about God into a prayer. Now the psalmist says, "For you are with me." It's getting more personal. Like sheep, we need the protection of our shepherd. The rod and the staff are the shepherd's tools for protecting the sheep. They can pull a wayward sheep back onto the path or fend off a wild animal that wants to attack the sheep. What a gift it is to know that we have a God who is watching over us. In those moments that every one of us has when we are anxious or afraid or lonely, these words speak to me of God's loving care and protection. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The psalmist expresses so beautifully what a great privilege it is to be cared for and to be loved. And these next words speak to me of the sheer joy of knowing God's provision and care in my life. It says, he is thanking God for his goodness and his protection. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." The psalmist is reminding us of our many blessings. We have a shepherd who provides for our needs, and our cup overflows with the goodness of God's gifts. The psalmist is reminding us of our many blessings. We have a shepherd who cares for us, provides for our needs, and our cup overflows with the goodness of God's gifts. The last stanza is a testimony of how good it is to know that no matter what happens to you, God's goodness and mercy will always, always be with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is God's promise to us, not just for this life on earth, but for all eternity. It ends, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Hallelujah!
It is wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Take this song, memorize it, make it your own. Let it speak to you when the turbulence of life threatens to overwhelm you. Let it quiet your heart when you lie awake in the middle of the night. Let it comfort you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let these words remind you that your shepherd will be with you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may never have an American Express card to bail you out of problems, but the reality is, even American Express cannot solve everything. You have something far, far better and far, far more valuable. You have the presence of the Lord God, who is your shepherd. He's the one who says to each one of us, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you are our shepherd. We are so blessed to know that you call each one of us by name, and you love us. Thank you for these beautiful words written so many years ago that still minister to our hearts. Lord, we give ourselves to you, asking that you would restore our souls. We confess that we are prone to wandering away from you, even though we know how much you love us, and we do love you. Still, we wander away. So forgive us and restore us and set us on the paths that lead to life. And Lord, when there are times that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, may we fear no evil, knowing that no matter what, you are always with us. Protect us and lead us and guide us every day of our lives and for all eternity. Amen.